Hello, Hive Nation. Welcome back to the Hive Nation podcast. Each week, we have leading experts in personal and professional development share their journeys and expertise to help you connect, engage, grow, and evolve. This episode of the Hive Nation podcast is sponsored by Lost River Distillery. Vodka crafted by hand, enjoyed by the best.
Get started. Hive Nation, today we are with Dave and Allie Curvin from Peterborough, Ontario. They have their own podcast as well. It's called the Wreck and Rise podcast, and I highly recommend checking it out. For all those of you who don't know what wrecking is, I suggest you look that up first maybe and then go from there. But in short, wrecking is putting a bunch of weights and garden gnomes and stuff in the backpack and then running as far as you can. And it's like a whole bunch of weight and stuff. I'm not entirely sure why everybody would like to do it, but Greg does it. Allie does it. So I'll start with Allie. Allie is very much has the entrepreneurial spirit, just like the rest of us. Works does her own certified positive dog training, which I think is awesome. I've got a dog that doesn't need any training. He needs attitude training rather than just any other type of training. But he's the laziest guy you would ever meet. But and then Allie is the Ruck specialist within the Ruck and Rise podcast. So Dave, you're the Rise part. We shouldn't go there.
I'm the original Ruck part, and then Allie, I think Allie brought the Rise. Well, bring both the Ruck and the Rise.
It's awesome. It's a great, they both go hand in hand. It's great. And then Dave yourself, reservist in the Canadian Armed Forces, which is, you know, kudos to you, Dave. Thanks for your service and for your time spent. That's amazing. And avid sports enthusiast. So I'm going to go to limb here and say, not only do you participate and are competitive that way, but you're a big Blue Jays fan. Is this correct?
I would say I am an average Blue Jays fan. you nailed it there. Nailed me there. Baseball's probably, I played it through high school and stuff, but I can't say as I'm a huge baseball fan, but I love going to a Blue Jays game. So. I give it
nice. No, that's great. How far is Peterborough from Toronto?
It's great. It's only 90 minutes tops. And for us, it's a real easy drive down to sort of the Oshawa GO station, and we can hop on the GO train and get right to Union Station and then, walk right to Rogers Centre or wherever we need to go. So it's a pretty easy trip in and out of the city.
Oh, that's perfect if you don't have to drive downtown because
exactly
dong short.
That's right.
So I'd like to just start by asking you guys, just on a really small scale, how did you guys start Ruck and Rise podcast and why did you start it?
So I'll let Allie tackle that one because this it kind of I would say is her baby.
Yes, it's one of my many passion projects, I would say. So my brother died by suicide almost a year ago in April. We're coming up to the year anniversary. So that changed us in our life in every single way possible. And just this huge need for more conversations to be being had about mental health and what we can do to help people. And before this happened a few years ago, I had kind of thought to myself, I'd really like to have a podcast because I like listening to them, but I had no clue or direction about what I wanted to talk about and who I wanted to do it with. And it just sort of stayed in the back of my mind for a while. And then about a month after my brother passed away, I was walking with one of my client's dogs and it just came to me. I was like, oh, well, we have to talk about mental health. Dave and I can do it together. I'm going to reach out to our good friend Kendra, because she's very tech savvy and her and I have worked on projects before together. So I know we work well together. And within like an hour of me randomly saying this to Dave and to Kendra, they were both in and it just sort of grew almost overnight, really. Yeah. That's a really kind of quick scenario of how it kind of came together. But
Yeah. You know, that's a great way or reason, if you want to go for the why, that's a great why as to make a podcast. So kudos to you. I really love that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. 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 It's been a good journey. And like Alex says, you know, we're avid podcast listeners. So, and there's a great community. You know, you guys are involved with it as well, but there's a great community of podcasts, people that we listen to and feel and draw inspiration from as well. And, you know, are sort of on the same boat promoting that mental health and creating mental health initiatives, different challenges and stuff. So it just kind of fuels us to, you know, keep doing what we're doing and make things even better with the podcast. So it's, yeah, it's been a good journey so far.
We actually just repopulated one of our past podcasts yesterday with Mr. Cam Keller. He's a mental health specialist out of Vancouver, and he does a lot on the executive side. And it's funny because we all think that, you know, you see all these people with, you know, their fancy suits and their fancy cars and their fancy offices, and you don't really understand what's maybe going on with them in the background as well. So he does a lot of stuff with them as well. And he's got his own struggles as well, but within his own families and stuff. But, you know, so it's very good timing that you talk about that, because that was another good one yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say, so I'm also an ambassador with Wounded Warriors Canada, and I'm really, really supportive behind that. And I really like the sort of direction that things are headed, and that not only Wounded Warriors is taking, but sort of us as a collective, you know, community, in that direction, being that we're trying to make more of a proactive approach to mental health versus the reactive approach, where, you know, something happens, something, you know, tragedy or whatever, and then we have to look for those resources or look for those tools in our toolbox. So we're really trying to push the proactive approach and do the things now, and have the tools in place now, that when, you know, something does come up, you can cope with it and you can carry on with it. So again, through Wounded Warriors, and then also through this community, that seems to be the direction that things are headed, and that's the way it should be. That's the direction.
Absolutely, that's the way it should be, Dave. I tip my hat to you. That's awesome. The Wounded Warriors is an absolute project that should be, you know, brought forward or brought up more often. I think that's, it just doesn't get enough attention, and, you know, we always seem to have a lot of our vets not get the attention that they should, and so if we can do that here within our you know, small outreach, I'll gladly do that any day of the week.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Veterans and all the first responders, you know, at the forefront of it, as well with their jobs. It's essential that they have those tools in place before they even put boots on the ground, for day one of the job.
Couldn't agree with you anymore.
With that being said, before we dive into specific challenges that we're going to talk about today, as far as the outreach and like the help that can be provided from the civilian side of the world to first responders, to veterans, you know, we consider ourselves really privileged to know a lot of, you know, former military members and first responders and current. But it always feels like, can we help? How do we help? You know, I don't want to look like I'm pretending to be a veteran. So from your perspective, like, how can civilians help out to these great organizations?
Yeah, so a big part of that is, I mean, there's fundraisers that take place, you know, throughout the year in a variety of manners. I mean, you know, Ruck March is one. There's cycling events, there's just walks, there's outreaches and things like that. And so the more awareness, and some of that falls on us as part of Wounded Warriors or part of organizers of these events, some of that falls on us, our responsibility to sort of promote that and push that awareness and that education component out there that these are available. And then in the civilian population, the civilian world. It's just a matter of, you know, coming in and joining with us. And then, you know, there's always online opportunities for donations for funds. But, you know, another key aspect is coming out and socializing with first responders and with veterans, because the more, like, we also do these mental health walks biweekly, and they're not just for veterans or first responders, or they're for everyone in the community that just wants to get a little bit more out of themselves and connect with nature and just be out. And the great thing is, like, you know, we're out there having conversations with civilians that are also facing struggles, whether it's, you know, financial. I mean, there could be a long list these days of, you know, mental health challenges that one could face. And so we're out there having conversations and, you know, gaining education from one another on what resources are available, you know, maybe on the civilian side, and then also what resources are available for first responders and veterans, and how we can help one another. So I think that's a big key component, is just, it's just coming out and going for a walk or communicating in person together. I think that's key. And so again, part of that falls on us to sort of make people aware that these events are out there.
Yeah, and even that walk, it's free. We offer carpool kind of thing. We go to different locations. We advertise just through Instagram. But even that walk itself is helping. You know, it helps us because we're getting out and going out in nature and moving our bodies, but we're connecting with people we didn't know before. We're meeting new people and building a support system in real life, in real time. Like, social media is amazing for so many things, but that in-person connection, I think, is really important too. And I think we're lacking that. So we're trying to build that up a little bit more. And I think we've had a good response so far. And we're going to keep doing that as well. So
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So there's one mental health walk, or there's multiple, but there's one out in Peterborough biweekly. And I know Seb's doing, Sebavaugh's doing his.
Yes.
We
got the idea from Seb. He was like, would you do this in Peterborough? And we're all like, yes.
Kudos to both of you guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Seb's idea first, but we're doing it out here. And
And we're hoping,
and
we're hoping that, you know, Seb had that initiative, and then we're carrying it on. And now we're hoping that other communities sort of across the country can start their own sort of biweekly mental health walks, and just anyone who wants to join, just come out and go for a walk, have some conversation. You don't even have to have conversation if you don't want it. If you just want to come out and just enjoy nature and get some physical activity and just clear your mind on your own a bit, then great. You know, it's there for you. So.
Worth it.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
So on the topic of challenges and coming together to help different organizations and causes. So last month we kind of all came together for the Push for Better cause, which was great because it really connected us at a daily level. We were tagging each other, and then it led into the Myeloma Cancer March Challenge this month. So you guys, along with Mad Hatter Industries, have championed this. I know there's a huge why for doing this challenge and raising awareness for multiple myeloma. So Dave, Ali, I'll just kind of let you guys talk about why that's so impactful to you and the difference that this challenge is making.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll touch on the why, and then, Ali can, touch on the challenge itself and what we've created that way. So, So my sister, Jocelyn, she was diagnosed in 2019 with multiple myeloma cancer. It's a blood cancer. It's actually the second most common cancer out there. And I had never heard of it prior to Jocelyn being diagnosed, and neither had she. And so it is, you know, it was kind of mind-blowing that it's the second most common. And so needless to say, obviously that kind of rocked our world with that diagnosis. And She went through initial treatment and did go into remission, and things were looking really good. And then, you know, unfortunately, this past year, 2023, you know, things came back and they sort of came back with a vengeance and took control. And then, unfortunately, Christmas time, 2023, things went, you know, sort of downhill, and we were pretty limited on time with Jocelyn. And then sadly, February 5th, so just last month, she passed away as a result of this disease, so this illness. So with these fitness challenges, we've always felt the importance of maintaining those obviously for our physical fitness, but more so for our mental stability, our mental health, so that we can just get through the day that much easier. We've got goals and we got something to focus on. And so, as Greg was mentioning, in February, we were hammering out push-ups, and it was great. Allie and I, we started hammering out push-ups December, and then we carried into January and then February. And so my triceps and my chest were they were done by the end of February.
I got injured and had to switch to sit-ups.
That's right. Yeah. And so we knew that March coming up, we knew we wanted to create a challenge of some sort. We wanted to do something different. And March is actually known as multiple myeloma month. So myeloma awareness month. And my sister was sort of, I would say, on the forefront or the main advocate individual for pushing that month to be declared myeloma month, especially in Toronto. She's from Toronto. And she was adamant and was hounding the city council and was sort of on top of creating Toronto being that myeloma month, or March being the myeloma month. And so she was able to get the city to, you know, officially declare the city of Toronto and the month of March as myeloma month, awareness month. And then they had last year, they had a ceremony downtown, Nathan Phillips Square, I think. And then they lit up the CN Tower red in honor on a particular evening as well. And so, again, like I say, with March coming up, we knew that the challenge had to be tied into multiple myeloma. And obviously that, you know, it's that much more significant with Jocelyn just passing, you know, the month before. So very, very close to our hearts. And so we wanted to make sure that the awareness got out there about multiple myeloma, but also help, you know, those that are still battling it with, you know, some fundraising done by it or through the blood donations. So Allie take it away as far as what the challenge involves and how we sort of, you know, came to establish that.
Yeah, so we wanted to make it fairly accessible to people from different age groups and everything like that. So we put out a couple different options. So the first option and we also have a prize pack with some stuff from us and some stuff from Mad Hatter that we're going to draw a prize. So to kind of get entered in, you can run, walk, bike, or ruck a minimum of 10 kilometers a week. And if you tag us so that we know you're doing it or send us a private message, just so we know you've done that, we will enter a ballot into the contest, or you can make a donation to Myeloma Canada, or you can donate blood to Canadian Blood Services. So lots of different ways you can either, or you can do all the things. Like, it's, we kind of left it open to whatever people wanted, but we wanted just to make sure that people felt like they had different options to get into it. And if you don't like rucking, well, maybe you take your dog for a 1 point whatever kilometer walk a day. You're probably doing that anyways, so just keep track of it and you can get in our prize pack, which is pretty good actually.
Yeah,
it's should we tell them what it, did we already tell them what it was?
No.
Do we want to keep it a secret?
No, that's oh, no. Okay. I think we should tell people.
Okay. So it's going to be two Ruck and Rise mugs, which I should have brought some down here so we could have showed you. But there are two Ruck and Rise mugs. We have a Mad Hatter journal because journaling is very good for lots of different reasons. And we have stickers, we have, I think, maybe a patch, and we also have two Mad Hatter shirts. They're long sleeve shirts. They're the new ones that they say push,
keep pushing forward
down the sleeves, and they've got like a cool design on the back. So I think we got like a medium and a large, so hoping that that will fit right size wise and if we need to exchange it, I'm sure we can figure that out. But yeah. So it's a pretty good prize pack. So yeah. We're hoping that kind of helps people get motivated because, like, you know, sometimes just upping it a little bit is just helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, since my sister has passed, I mean, I've ever since she was diagnosed, I've been learning more and more about multiple myeloma and then just, you know, those affected by it. And there is like quite an organization, quite a myeloma society or myeloma organization that a support system for those, you know, battling myeloma cancer. And that sort of extends, you know, across the country. And since she's passed, I've had individuals that have reached out to me that are also battling myeloma cancer. And some of them are creating their own fitness challenges as well, which is really awesome to see. I mean, I know coming up in June, there's a girl in Sudbury area that and my sister was only 48, so she was, you know, certainly on the younger side of you know, what's the norm for this cancer affecting. And this individual is even younger than my sister, you know, so, and an avid cyclist. And so she's actually creating I think it's 11 or 12 day 100 kilometers a day sort of cycling journey coming up this summer. And then she's sort of dedicating, you know, each day to a particular individual that is either battling myeloma or has, you know, since passed on. So I feel very blessed to have connected with her. I'm actually going to do one of the days on the bike with them. And that day 11, I think it's going to be, is going to be dedicated to Jocelyn. And so there's another, you know, sort of event that's creating more awareness and again, more fundraising, more support for those battling this illness. So it's,
so Dave, it's awesome. If you guys have anything that you can send to us, we'll put out on our mm-hmm. channels as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I certainly will. Sweet. Yeah. Yeah. So
with since the challenge has been going on, I've been trying to spread the awareness as best I can. And I've actually interacted with Corey a ton from Mad Hatter Industries because
of awesome.
Which is super awesome. From the little bit I've talked to him, sounds like an unbelievable guy. I've listened to the episode you guys did with him. So when you did this challenge, and I know you guys have worked with him a little bit in the past, why Mad Hatter? Like what was the connection there, and why would somebody else connect with Mad Hatter if they're doing their own challenge?
Yeah, I'm glad that you've had the opportunity to connect with Corey one-on-one. I mean, can't say enough good things about that guy and his wife, V. They're just an amazing couple. And that whole Mad Hatter Industries family, community, incredibly supportive. So incredibly supportive for the veteran community, but just all around great people. I mean, if you're struggling, if you're, you know, having a tough time, whatever, there's an ear there to listen. And they've gone through, you know, their fair share of challenges as well. And, you know, are just continuing to push, you know, similar mindset and similar agenda where they just want to do better. They want to be better today than they were yesterday. And Corey's very much of that mindset. And I mean, I met Corey shooting at a range one time. You probably heard it on the podcast before. And you know, the fact that I ordered a t-shirt from him and he drove it up on his motorcycle and hand delivered it. I mean, that just speaks volume to the character that Corey is, and the individual that he is, that he would, you know, make that effort. And this is, you know, he was living close to an hour away at that time, so it wasn't like a hop on the bike and, you know, mm-hmm. come around the corner kind of thing. It was a bit of a trek up. So we just had a kind of an instant connection, you know, hanging out in the kitchen, just talking about, you know, a lot about Army, but also just a lot about life and fitness and that positive mindset. And so we really meshed quite well with, you know, Corey and his wife and that whole community. And we just started to kind of roll with wanting to be a part of something that was headed in a really good direction. And it's just kind of snowballed into this this really, really good, yeah, supportive community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're like, he's a very passionate person, right? And it's kind of mm-hmm. infectious, and you can see that in all the stuff in social media, but they're like that in real life as well. So the word authentic gets thrown around so much right now, but it's true, right? They're true to who they are when you meet them in real life. And yeah, we mesh with them really well. They came to our wedding, they're friends of ours, and we've made really good friends with other people who work with them closely too. So it's just opened up this whole community, and they're kind of our support as well for doing the podcast as well. So we're buds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I say, like-minded individuals that, Corey's into motorcycles, got myself into motorcycles and
now I'm into motorcycles.
That's right. And, and the whole fitness aspect of just keeping healthy and fit and ready for whatever tomorrow brings. Corey and that whole community, they're all about that. So it was real easy to get behind and get on board with them.
That's awesome. Yeah. How, what's your thoughts on this? What's your thoughts on creating a, I'm not entirely sure how to say this, a community involvement page that would have people, maybe volunteer or sign up to do like a mental health walk in every major center across Canada? Like what do you think that would look like?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I mean, so we here in Peterborough, we host the Peterborough Rucksack March for Remembrance in just before Remembrance Day every year. And how that came to be was there's an individual, a veteran in Edmonton, that started that event in 2017. And he just sort of kept an eye out, I think, of people that were participating virtually a few years back. And so he reached out to me and asked if I would be interested in hosting a Peterborough Rucksack March for Remembrance. And I said, absolutely, I would love to. And then, this past year that spooled into, other communities. I think, it went from like three or four cities in the country that were participating a couple of years ago to, I believe there were like seven to nine across the country that participated. So just things like that, where if you have, sort of a website or a platform that just kind of reaches out and says, who would be interested in hosting a walk in your community or hosting some initiative in your community, I'm certain that there's many, many other like-minded individuals in a wide range of communities across the country that would get on board and jump on that and say, put their hand up and say, I'll take that on. So I think it could really go far.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah. All right.
We'll watch out for it.
Yeah. I like it.
Could you tell the Hive Nation a little bit more about maybe your target audience and the emphasis and the impact you're trying to make with Rock and Rise podcast?
Allie. Yeah.
You're up.
Now I'm in the hot seat. I would say like, the demographic, I would say it's pretty wide open, which I know sounds kind of flaky, but it's not just for first responders and the vet community, because before I met Dave, I didn't come from a military family. Like, everything that I know about the military, which honestly isn't really that much, I've only learned in the last 5 years of being Dave's partner.
And I don't know that much.
And so, I mean, I'm fascinated by the community and I want to support them as well, but it's also open to, because mental health affects everybody. And that is just a blanket statement, but it's true. You know, everybody is struggling with something. So the whole point is to get people having these conversations and seeing that, you know, it may look like someone you see on the street, you know, maybe they're well-dressed and like you guys were saying before, and they have a fancy house and fancy car, and they may look like they have their shit together, but they are most likely struggling with something. And just because people don't talk about it doesn't mean that it's not there. So I think just having the conversation and just letting people know that it's okay that you are having a hard time, and even just talking about it is really the first step. You may not be able to help. You know, we have people reach out to us when they're maybe having a tough time or a tough day. And even just having a little bit of conversation, even if it's through, you know, Messenger or whatever, that can be really, really beneficial. And I think it normalizes it for people, which I think is the whole point of it for me. And just talking about all these different things that happened, and also this whole other side of, you know what, we all go through these dark times, but there's good things that come from the darkness, right? My brother passed away. I've never experienced a death that close to me before. And now we've gone through two in the last year, or going through two in the last year. So grief is a really big part of our conversation every day and our lives and stuff like that. But also knowing that we'll look at all these other relationships that we've got to meet with all these other people through this hard time. And we're going to continue to go through this hard time because it's kind of a lifelong journey. But accepting that and realizing that there's, I don't know, I think I always had this thing in my head too, where I kind of thought like, you know, when you're 30 or you turn 30, you're sort of just in the same job for forever and you're probably not going to learn more. For some reason, I had that stigma in my head, whereas now I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to change careers and I think I'm going to go back to school. Like, there's so much more life, even though there's still hard times and darkness, even that you carry with you on a daily basis. And it is a choice for me anyways, every day, to maybe have to choose it like 50 times to be like, okay, now we're going to go do this, or you get to go do this, and reframing it in your mind. And sorry, I got on a little bit of a rant there, but I hope that made sense.
Well, it's good, because age is obviously just a number and you don't have to, you know, people use it as a crutch, you know, a lot of times, but you know,
yeah,
you should use it more as a motivation rather than a crutch, but
exactly.
Yeah, for sure. And I hope you do that. You should absolutely, if that's your passion, if that's your purpose in life, I 100% applaud you to do that.
Yeah. I've really had a big shift lately, and my passion and my interests have changed and are continuing to change. And I'm really excited about kind of what's going to come and things that I haven't even really thought of yet, but I can feel like I'm on this new path that I'm kind of blazing as fast as I can, but it's not actually going as fast as I want it to, but that's how things take time. So learning how to be patient at the same time.
That's hard.
We have the same thing. We don't like slowing down. When we get slowed down, that's like our biggest frustration.
Yes.
But when you're forced to slow down, it's never good. So that's why I think, you know, these challenges are great. JB and I talked about this last week, and we've kind of been talking about it ever since the push-up challenge, where and we've touched on it today, where not everybody likes to be out in front and likes to show people what they're doing, and that's great. Go do your challenge in silence and just, you know, shoot me a text saying that you're doing it, or not. I know lots of people that were doing the push-up challenge that had just told me, they're like, man, I was doing the push-ups right along with you. Like, that's so great.
That's awesome.
But I think it's really cool, especially in the network that we're interconnected in, where there is a ton of high performers and first responders and competitive people, where these challenges give us a reason to connect every day, even if it's just a, hey, I got my pushups in, where are yours, right? So
yeah,
I think, you know, going forward, I said this and I'm going to stick to it. We're going to try to find a challenge every month to create or do for some reason, whether it's just mental health or de-stress or for a benefit. Like in June, we're trying to plan something to support Satch with his run. Awesome. And we're just going to keep going. So I haven't completely got April wrapped up. Zach from Mentel and the Canadian podcast and me are still going back and forth. We got to button that up. But next month is de-stress month. It's anti-stress awareness month. So we're trying to plan something around that. So not necessarily donation wise, but just the kind of ideas around it are movement, connection, and sharing. So we're going to get something like that out and just get it out to the network and see if we can help some people connect.
Count us in.
Yeah.
We don't even need to know what it is. We're in. Can it involve rucking? Because I'm currently training for my own personal ruck challenge. So if it involves rucking, that could be really beneficial for me.
Not necessarily, but it's basically there's a movement portion.
Okay.
A like actually connecting with somebody portion, and then a sharing a story or yeah. So there's definitely a movement portion to it.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I believe today is National Happiness Day. So happy is National it? Happiness Day. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh wow.
Okay.
All right.
That's, yeah, I like that. Yeah. I was in Toronto today and there was quite a bit of sun shining through and was at my sister's apartment and I was on the balcony and the sun was kind of beaming in and that makes it even better to know that it was National Happiness Day because I, you know, I did have, you know, a moment where I kind of like looked up and smiled and, you know, felt a calming sensation. And so, yeah, I felt pretty happy at that moment. So glad to hear that it's nationally recognized now.
Love it, Dave. Right on. That's awesome. Yeah. I do have one more question, and it's kind of been floating around in my brain ever since we connected with you guys. And now that I have carried a ruck on my back for 21 days straight, and there's so many great metaphors and like mindsets around rucking. And I know you've touched on a couple, but I can't remember where I saw it. Somebody was talking about the invisible backpack we wear. It might've been
it was the Third Perspective podcast.
Third Perspective podcast. So yeah. is that how you could connect rucking to the mental health, or is that something you do where it's like, you know, the burden of this weight I'm carrying is actually nothing in comparison to X, Y, Z. So what's the perspective of that for you, Dave and Ellie?
Yeah, the term, you know, rucksack, it is a military term, you know, referring to backpack that, you know, we wear into the field or in operations or whatever, where we carry everything that we need to sustain us while we're out there. So, you know, we're completely self-sufficient between our, you know, our clothing, our sleep kit, our food, our water, everything that we have that we need to sustain us is on our backs. So there's an easy, yeah, I think there's a sort of an easy metaphor there that, you know, you might be able to take the rucksack off your back, but everything that you carry in life, you know, sustaining you day to day, you know, this, it can still be pretty heavy on the back. Even though you know, physically remove that rucksack off your back, you could still be carrying a lot of things day to day that help you get through and keep you going. And some days that rucksack could be nice and light and feel like there's very little weighing you down and you're just gotta, you know, hop in your step or whatever. And then other days, you know, maybe it's a little rain, waterlogged, and you've got extra weight in there and it's a little harder to carry. So I like to think that, you know, life, you know, the rucksack of life is kind of always on our backs. And so Allie and I, you know, with the Rock and Rise podcast and with the ruck marching that we do. I've always, or not always, but more so in the last like year or so, especially with, you know, my sister becoming ill and she was getting back into running. And then obviously this illness sort of took her away from that. So I always like to think, man, I'm going to put a rucksack on my back and I'm going to get moving because I can, like, because my body will allow me to do it. Cause physically I don't have any excuse not to do it. So because my body will allow me to do it, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do it, because a lot of people that would like to be in my shoes, unfortunately, you know, due to circumstances that are out of their control, they can't do it. So I'm going to do it.
Now, summed it up pretty well, Dave.
Didn't leave you anything.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I think just like training with that weight, it is hard, right? Like it's a mental grind. So I think preparing and doing that physically, it helps you prepare for emotional challenges and stuff like that, because it helps build resilience. That's what I find anyway.
That's an absolutely amazing way to answer that. Well, Ali, Dave, this has been amazing. But before we let you guys rock on,
I call her my rock star. So it's
before we let you guys go, where can the Hive Nation connect with you? Where can they, if they're in the Peterborough area, where can they find you guys for the walks and everything else you guys got on the go?
Yeah, so Instagram is probably the easiest way. We are Ruck and Rise Podcast on Instagram. For our mental health walks, we do have a separate page for that. It's Mental Health Walks 2023. But you can also find us on the Ruck and Rise podcast, and I could direct you there or give you the information. So, and we do have an email account, and it is ruckandrise@gmail.com. So those are probably the easiest ways for people to get in touch with us. And if they're local and they want to meet up for a coffee or go for just a regular walk, no ruck, we're always up for that too.
I wanted to quickly jump in and give you guys kudos, but Greg, the videos and the daily posts and the getting the ruck on and getting out there and after it and promoting the March Challenge, like kudos to you and thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Because, you know, we repost it. It's inspiring to us, and I'm sure it's inspiring to many others around. And I think it's great that you're just, you know, hammering this challenge out and really promoting it and pushing it. So, thanks for doing that.
Well, it's my pleasure, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, so which one of you two is going to give us the lesson on Tony Hawk there in the corner there? Dave, you kind of look like Tony Hawk, so let's say can you post like a sick ollie or something like that, or
what? That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. I was a huge Tony Hawk fan. I was big into skateboarding when I was, you know, I don't know, 13 14, yeah, probably 12 13 14. I was like, yeah, I love skateboarding. Tony Hawk was a big fan. Those are actually my son's skateboards.
Okay.
That are in the corner there, and he still has to pick them up one of these days. Taking to
his own apartment. He stores some of his stuff here in our podcast. Skating.
Yeah, rook skating. Look for it in the next Olympics.
We are going to try tandem cross country skiing next winter.
No, we're not.
like both on the same set of skis. That's a thing.
Yeah. God, we saw this but like documentary about
we
it.
We went to watch the Banff Film Festival. They aired a bunch of the short films. They aired them here in Peterborough. And the last film that we watched on the night was these two guys doing participating in a really famous cross-country ski race. And they did it tandem. They did it on... like the same set of skis.
They had to get them specially made.
Picture a tandem bike, but these are two skiers. So, yeah,
Allie, I got all fired up about it. Dave does not want to do it. I said, Dave, with your speed and my powerful legs, we're going to be unstoppable. And he is still not on board. But
it's like a winning solution to me. I can't
wait. It is. And if nothing else,
it's like an argument waiting to happen. But yeah,
it's going
to
be our first fight.
We will be once we crash.
It'll just be so entertaining.
Dave, a quick story. I just saw Tony Hawk, an interview with Tony Hawk just the other day. And the skate park with his son. And this guy randomly comes up to me like, dude, you look just like Tony Hawk. and he's like, huh, well, you don't say. He's like, yeah, I would swear that you were Tony Hawk. But yeah, obviously, you know, you don't have a skateboard, so you're not Tony Hawk. So he grabs his kid's skateboard, I guess, and just does like all this, you know what Tony Hawk does. And the guy's just like, so I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. You are Tony Hawk, and I'm an idiot. Thanks for that. And he told the story, and I laughed my ass off. I thought it was super funny.
That's awesome. That's good.
That's fantastic. Well, Hive Nation, look out for the tandem cross-country skiing, skating, and more actual real-life monthly challenges. Ali and Dave, thanks for joining us, and thanks for everything you guys do to the community. For now,
thank you guys. Thanks a lot.
Hive Nation, we're out.